Well, greetings. This is another episode of The Power of the Blood, and we'll be teaching from Lesson 6. And we want to look at Revelation chapter number 12 and verse 11 again as our students will take the word and turn there. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. As we have made that a theme passage in all of our lessons, we want to thank you for being able to come back and be in class again. We're going to be attempting to find a place to finish this course. By no means have we been able to exhaust everything. We want to turn on page 51 in your syllabus, and we'll be talking about the power of the blood, and this will be in reference to faith in the blood. In Romans chapter number 3, verses 21 through 31, we won't read all of the passage, but we encourage you to read that. We want to definitely read verse number 25. It says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Now, as the Apostle Paul, we know, wrote the book of Romans, he is definitely emphasizing the importance of faith. Yes, the price was the blood, but it does take faith to see the blood exercised for our benefit. Now, we want to look at what's being said here. It says that God has set forth to be a propitiation, and then the word through faith. So propitiation is expiatory, an atoning victim. Also, we understand that it ties with that of the lid of the Ark of the Testimony, or that of the that would have been in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant. And definitely we see the importance of the mercy seat. The mercy seat. And we find the word expiatory that's important. And of course, we know that Jesus was the one that took our punishment, took our suffering, so that we could be forgiven of sin. And then we understand that the word faith is important here, because it's talking about how that through faith in his blood, or the work of the blood, it's to declare our righteousness, it's to declare our remission of sins, that's past. And thank God there is that God does forgive. We find that faith is credence, it is an assurance, it is fidelity. I'm going to give you a couple passages of scripture that you may want to read out of the Old Testament reference to faith. That would be Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 20. I'm not going to turn there. And then Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And of course, we can even comment here with the importance of how that we're justified by faith. Justified by faith. And as we move on, our study will give the importance of faith in the power of the blood. And if you are using one of the syllabuses, we need to realize there is some places here to fill in. On page 51, the first word should be there that's filled in is, faith is the key to receiving the benefits of the power of the blood. So the two words there in number one should be faith is the key, or faith. And then, of course, to receiving the benefits of the power of the blood. So the last word there in that sentence would be blood. Number two, our text states, and again, faith would be the word, in the blood of Christ is the one thing which makes the doctrines of holiness and grace of God, of the divine and human nature of Christ, of our deliverance. So you need to put the word deliverance there, from sin and union with God intelligible. And so this is something for us to know, that there has been a work of deliverance by that of the component of the precious blood that's without price. I mean, it's so priceless that we can't put a price on it, really, how valuable it is. But it's that that God wants us to know. And then in the third part of this, it says, if faith is the key to receiving, and of course it is, the benefit of the power of the blood, reconciliation, so the word reconciliation should be put there, is the key understanding of the benefits of the power of the blood. Now, reconciliation is very important because that's part of the redemptive work of Christ for our benefit. Reconciliation is the key understanding of the benefits of the power of the blood, as we've already stated. But reconciliation means, it means to cover, it means to atone, it means to disannul, to forgive. It also gives us the indication of God's mercy to us, how he's pardoned us, and then how that there is the putting away of our sin, and there is the act of being reconciled or peace being made. So with that being said, an important point is faith is born from a sense of need, and we all do have a need, for all of us have been born in sin, and we know that there is a gift of God, and we know that Jesus Christ is the one that has made the means for that gift to be appropriated to us. Only by faith we are able to press through the enjoyment of all that the blood has obtained for us. We know that the shedding of the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross had an unspeakable great objective. It was to bring about the destruction of sin in itself and its consequences. So we see that the fact that the power of the blood, or the shedding of the blood on the cross, the objective is that it would be the means of destruction of sin and definitely even its judgment. Thank God Jesus took our judgment upon the cross. Our faith must exceed that of deliverance from the punishment of sin. We must, by the word, receive the promise of the works of the blood. Now, there's three points here, and there's places that we want you to fill in, and we'll give you those wordages there. Number one, it says, but when the soul truly seeks above everything else to be cleansed from sin itself and to live in abiding, and the word should be fellowship, with a holy God, this is the first requisite of a true faith in that blood. So when a soul seeks above everything else, and we seek the cleansing of God, we are desiring to abide in fellowship with a holy God. This definitely is a requisite of a true recognition of faith in the work of the precious blood of Jesus. The deeper, number two, the deeper the dissatisfaction with that, or what is wrong and decisive in our spiritual lives, the stronger the longing to be really delivered from sin. Now, there's a lot that can be said there, and I really believe that this is a moment in a person's life that they really are wanting the Lord to become the Lord of their life. I'm not talking about somebody being saved, and I do believe that that is where it starts. It starts with salvation, and we are changed at salvation. But also, there is a time that people have to grow, and I believe in that growth, they fall out of love with sin and the things that have trapped them, the things that have been of the lifestyle. And yes, there is a change, I believe, when a person is born again. But as we grow in sanctification, and I believe there's a stronger longing to be really delivered of sin, and that ought to be the heart of a believer today. And it is the power of God to do so. In point number two, the word there should have been sin, delivered from sin. And then number three, the more lively the desire to have, and then it should be unbroken communion with God in the holiest, so much the more is the soul prepared to receive by faith what God promises and will bestow. So, first of all, there is a growing dissatisfaction of that's wrong, that's sinful, that we be delivered from that. And then there's this growing desire in the believer for an unbroken communion with God. And of course, so much the more is a soul prepared to receive by faith what God promises and will bestow. So with that, we continue to grow. We continue to receive what God has in a greater fullness. Then on page 52, requirements needed for a full faith in the blood. Now, this is important as we look at three points here. And first of all, it says it is very important to have a spiritual knowledge of the Word of God. So the wordage here should be the Word of God. And if we're going to grow in the things of God, if we're going to know about God, if we're going to know what we are to be able to obtain, we've got to know the Word of God. Then second of all, one must be teachable to more truth about the wonderful working of the blood. And I believe that it is true for anybody. It doesn't matter what your title is. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter how much you know of the Bible. We must continue to always be teachable. Teachable, yes, about the wonderful working of the blood, but overall, the Word of God itself. Most have a concept that the blood is only applicable to our salvation. Now, the word salvation should be filled there in on that line on this point number two. So what's sad, a lot of times people's concept as believers, or maybe even someone that knows some biblical truth, that the concept of the blood is only applicable to our salvation. That is true. It is applicable, but it's more. There is more to the benefits and the wonderful working of the blood than just the working of our salvation. That's a foundation. That's a precept that must be acquired. Number three, a believer wanting to have a full fellowship of faith in the blood must acknowledge the Spirit as the teacher. Now, this is another understanding of how the blood and the Spirit cannot be separated. The Word and the blood cannot be separated. The cross and the blood cannot be separated. But there again, as a believer continues to want to come into full fellowship of faith and definitely acknowledging what the benefit of the blood is and purpose is for us, even greater and beyond that of the realms of our salvation, we must allow continually the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So the word there should be teacher in point number three at the top of your page under the requirements needed for a full faith in the blood. On page 56 of our text, in about the third paragraph, there's a statement here, and it says, the believer who desires to understand completely the blessed power of the blood must submit entirely to the teaching of the Word through the Holy Spirit in private. So it's where we spend time with God. What does this tell us? There's some things here, four things that I think that we can pinpoint in the reference of spending time with God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us about the greaterness of the blessings and the benefits of the blood. First of all, we must have a desire, a hunger, that we must want to know more. Then secondly, we need to know the blessed power of the blood in salvation and beyond. So again, we reemphasize the requisite of knowing God and being in fellowship with Him is the power of the blessed work of the blood of the Lamb that's benefited us in that of our reconciliation, our salvation. And then it doesn't stop there, it continues and beyond. Then thirdly, we must submit to the Holy Spirit as our teacher, as we've already stated. And that means that we must discipline ourselves. Study means time alone. That means that we discipline ourselves. We set forth a time. We allow the Spirit of God to teach us and to equip us. Now, that definitely lines up with what we find in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Yes, it is a work of the Spirit teaching us, but how do we obtain faith? And of course, this ought to be a familiar scripture to a lot of us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there in your syllabus, it should be faith cometh by hearing is the word that you'll place, and hearing by the word, it should be the word of God there that's placed in your syllabus, or by the word, and then of course it says of God. Now, an important scripture in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 4. It states there, or we find the Hebrew word which means, or which is Shema. It's the first word in Hebrew. The word Shema means to hear. This is important because we're talking about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's important what we hear, but it's also important to understand that the first word in Hebrew means to hear. This truth gives us the opportunity to make our confession by the means of faith. What most of us, what we hear at some time or another, we repeat it, don't we? Because we heard it, we speak it. And how important it is that we take the word of God that we hear, we act on in faith, and then we make it our confession. We call it our confession of faith. We speak what God says about it, and then we definitely come into a greater benefit of what God's word has for us. Now, we won't take the time to go to these passages of scripture, but I encourage you as a student to read these if you have it, or to rehearse them. It tells us, take a look at faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. And of course, we should be familiar with the fact that this is called the Hall of Faith. And we find many of the Old Testament believers that are listed there, and how their life of faith was spoken of. And of course, we want to mention three. We want to give the passages of scripture. There's so much that we can elaborate on, but I would encourage you just to look at these three individuals in scripture. And one would be Abel, what the faith of Abel was, how that he operated in faith. And we can find Hebrews 11:4 talks about him there. And then of course we see the passages of scripture, Abel being a son of Adam and Eve. And we find in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and verse number 10, Abel is mentioned. And God honored his faith and his faithfulness, even in that of his blood sacrifice that was properly made. Then in number point 2, we find Abraham. We find that God considered him a friend. God saw Abraham, or first of all, his name was Abram, saw his faithfulness to God. And we find that Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 17, speaks of Abraham in the Hall of Faith. Now in Genesis chapter number 22, we definitely see an exercise of faith that is spoken of there, as Abraham takes Isaac to the Mount Moriah. And one of the things that I have to acknowledge here in reference to this is Abraham was being willing to be obedient to the Lord to take Isaac to that altar, which is representation of Jesus, the Son of God. And we've already spoke about how that three times previous in our lessons, how that Abraham called him his only son, his only begotten son, three times in Scripture. Now, another thing that's important here is in Genesis chapter number 22, as they started to go up the mount, and we know that Abraham makes a statement to all those servants that stayed at the bottom of the mountain. Me and the son will go there, and we will make sacrifice, or we'll make an offering to the Lord, and we shall return. Now, that was a declaration, a proclamation. Abraham was speaking faith there because he knew what the instructions that had been given to him by God. And yet we find that Abraham speaks faith there that him and the son will return. They will return. Then we find thirdly, Moses. We find Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 28. And then, of course, we can see how that Moses, by faith, did step out and became that of the spokesperson, statesman. There's so many titles that we could give Moses, or even we could say the leader that God used to accomplish the great task of bringing the house of Israel out of bondage or out of Egypt, and then the wonderful and great Passover that even takes place in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. And of course, that's important because we see the atoning work. We see the first Passover in the house of Israel being established there, and how that God uses that to bring them forth out of Egypt. We turn to page 53 in our syllabus. We find the word propitiation. And again, we have talked about the... with the word propitiation, again, we reemphasize how that this is speaking of the mercy seat. It's speaking of the ark that would have been in the temple, that would have been in the tabernacle first. And then, of course, we understand how that by faith we are restored. We are restored to fellowship by the atoning blood of the sacrifice. And, of course, we're reminded when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, he stepped into the presence of God. Upon the mercy seat, the high priest made atonement. Now, what's important here, that high priest, he was exercising a step of faith just in the operation of what took place in the Holy of Holies. Now, three things that I want to point out here, and I want to give you a little other information before we find a place to take a break. Jesus was set forth, and he became our propitiation. He became the victim. He became the outpouring of his blood that would be put on the mercy seat to make propitiation or a covering for us. And then through faith in his blood is how we do receive. Now, as I stated earlier, the high priest service was an operation of faith. Now, remember, by that of the time that the temple was raided by Nebuchadnezzar or the Babylonians, we realize the ark was taken captive. And we realize that all this time, even at the time of Jesus, there had been a foundation stone there in the temple. And that would have been the place where the Ark of the Covenant would be stationary. And we realize that when the high priest, even on the Day of Atonement, would have went and only poured blood upon the foundational stone. So again, we see that Jesus did what no earthly priest could do even in that time. And Jesus exceeded, because Jesus did not just, when he died on the cross, the Spirit ascending to heaven, the eternal Spirit, and placing the blood on the very ark of the covenant mercy seat in heaven, exceeded what would take place when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies by faith, and that would be to place blood on just that of the foundational stone. Now, we understand that Jesus upon the cross, he was the high priest that could exceed the service of the high priest of the Levite or the Levitical tribe. And then Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we realize that Jesus is that was, that is, and that is to come. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega. He is the beginning, he is the end. And there's three things that we want to mention before we break. Is first of all, there's a better sacrifice. Second of all, there's a better covenant. And third, we definitely have the final results. Again, I want to reemphasize how that it's important that it is a fact. The blood is a redemptive work. It is a power that is of great value, but yet is an exercise to receive the benefits, must be by faith.